We're going to look at Scripture together now, and we're going to be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 today, verses 10 through 17. Those words will be on the monitors for you. You can follow along that way, or you can follow along in your own Bible or in one of the few Bibles as you choose. As you're able this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Suppose that you had been wrongly accused of a crime that you didn't commit. And beyond that, let's say that you were even convicted of that crime and imprisoned, even though you were innocent. And beyond that, let's suppose that one particular person in that process had done everything possible to mistreat you and make you miserable, including harming others that you cared about who were also innocent. Think about how you might feel toward that person. In our passage for today, a woman described by Jesus as a daughter of Abraham had been bent over and unable to stand up for 18 years. That's a long time. That's a long time to be bent over. A long time to have a limited viewpoint on the world. Perhaps rarely seeing another person's face. I imagine she saw plenty of people's feet. But it must have been difficult for her, maybe even painful for her, to look up. To look up towards people's faces. To look up toward the sky. To look up toward God. And yet she continued the weekly gatherings with the synagogue on the Sabbath. She continued to worship God despite not being able to look Godward. I wish I knew if she had been able to maintain a cheerful attitude through all that in the face of her long bent overness and been one who blessed others each week in the synagogue with that attitude of cheerfulness. I can almost imagine that as she arrived at the synagogue each week, folks would make an intentional effort to go over and greet her because she was always so cheerful in spite of her condition. And as they exchanged their greetings, the blessing of her cheerfulness was a blessing to them. I'd at least like to think maybe those things are true. Whether they were or not, she still was bent over and unable to stand up straight. And I think there are things today that cause us to be bent over or heavily burdened in our lives, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, maybe a combination of those. And at the root of some of those causes of bent overness, did you hear me? At the root of some of those causes of bent overness is sin. To be sure, there are physical and mental conditions that are completely unrelated to sin. Did you hear me now? Did you hear me? Because not all maladies are the result of sin lurking at your door. But there are some that are rooted in sin. And one of those that I believe is rooted in sin is bitterness. Oh, how it weighs us down and causes us to be bent over emotionally and especially spiritually. Bitterness, I believe, begins with unforgiveness and with holding a grudge against someone. Somewhere back there in the past, someone did something that belittled us or insulted us or caused us harm in some way that wronged us. It was uncalled for, and it cut deeply. And to make matters worse, that person never even apologized for the hurt they caused. And since then, we've stewed over it, relived it time after time, perhaps even magnified it in our own minds. And that stewing and that reliving has allowed the incident to become heavier and heavier on our hearts and minds and souls. Similar to an increasingly heavy load in a backpack where the straps cut deeper and deeper into our shoulders as the weight increases. The remembrance of our being wronged, along with the holding of the grudge, begins to cause our own bent overness. Now, this bent overness is much more emotional and spiritual in nature, and it causes our hearts, our minds, and our souls to be bent over. And the longer we carry that heavy load of bitterness, the more bent over we become. Sometimes we even fail to notice it, because it becomes part of what normal is for us. And if we don't address it, we'll eventually find ourselves in a place in our spiritual lives where we're completely unable to stand up straight, completely unable to look up at other people's faces, to look up at the sky, even to look up at God. Bent over. Like the woman from our scripture passage, except for us, more emotionally and spiritually than physically. Recall how when she entered the synagogue on that Sabbath, Jesus was teaching there. And we're told that he saw her. Now whether or not she ever saw him in her bent overness, we don't know. But he saw her. She asked for nothing. But when he saw her, he called her to him. And he said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And after saying those words, verse 13 then says, when he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Immediately, she stood up straight. After 18 years of bent overness, she stood up straight. Can you imagine what that must have been like for her? No wonder her praise to God rang throughout the sanctuary, throughout the synagogue. What grace had been poured into her life. What good news her newfound uprightness was to her. All because Jesus saw her, had compassion, and set her free. The good news for us is that Jesus sees us today. Jesus sees you and me, just like we are. And He wants to set us free from any bent overness that we might bring with us today. Now, we've spoken mainly about bitterness that results from unforgiveness and the holding of grudges as a call for bent overness this morning. But there are many others. Time will not allow me to go through those, but there are many others. Some we're aware of. Others, again, we've carried for so long that they just become part of the norm for us. But whatever the case may be for you, if you are bent over in any way today, hear this good news. Jesus sees you. Jesus has compassion for you. And Jesus wants to set you free from any bent overness you might have today. And that's good news, friends. That is good news. I asked at the beginning about how you might respond to being unjustly accused and convicted of a crime that you didn't commit. A man named Patrick Chamuso lived out that scenario. Unjustly imprisoned for his role in advocating nonviolently for the end of apartheid in South Africa, he had gotten to the place where he harbored a grudge against the one primarily responsible for his misery. The film, Catch a Fire, recounts his story. And I've got a clip here that shows us how we might could understand how he might have become bitter, if you play that clip.
You people will never learn. You probably can learn. Or if you're lucky, you'll spend the rest of your life in jail. There's nothing else we can do with me. My life is finished. I may never see my children again, but when I speak with their father, they will say he was a man who stood up for what was right. A man who said, I must do something now. What will your children say about you? Years later, when I came back to that township, the neighbor said that after that day, Zuko and Sixpence were never seen again. He kept me there at that farm for many months, trying to find where our leaders might be, so they could also be killed. I was sentenced to 24 years in prison on a little island at the border. bottom of Africa, roaming high. There were almost no clothes on our backs. Mostly men like me found guilty of treason. Men who spent their days breaking rocks. So many hearts filled with sorrow and filled with anger. But our leader, our father, he told us we could never be free until we learn to forgive. After 5 years in that prison, Precious had dirty to say she was getting married again. And after another 5 years, I found the power in my heart to forgive. Then they were forced to end the system of apartheid that had kept our people down, and we could go home again.
All right, so some of that was a little hard to hear. I trampled over a couple of sound systems there, I think. Sorry. But he was wrongfully convicted, sentenced to 24 years in prison. Stayed in prison until the end of apartheid. His wife wrote him after 5 years in prison and said she was getting married again to somebody else. Took him another 5 years to get to the place where he could forgive her for that, but he did. And then he said, but our leader, our father, he told us we could never be free until we learned to forgive. Sounds a lot like Jesus. And for many people today, both within and without the church, I believe that statement rings true. If we want to be free, really free, we must learn to forgive. After returning from his imprisonment, Patrick Chamuso found himself faced with a concrete opportunity to follow Mandela's advice or not. He could forgive and be free, or he could go the other way. And here's what happened. One more time.
I tried to settle down, start again, move back to live close to my kids. Started even to understand myself, my mistakes. But that man, the pain he caused to so many, that pain kept coming back. I kept seeing him in my nights and the days. I looked closer to prove to my mind that it was him, that monster.
As I was walking towards him, I said, no, oh no, killing is not going to help me. Revenge is not good. He's going to carry on war for this generation and the next generation. Let me let him live, and then I'll be free. I am free, and everyone is free.
Shemuso could have killed him. But he chose to let his captor live. He chose to forgive. He chose to be free. Friends, Jesus sees us here today. And He wants us to be free from any bent overness that we have, whatever it might be. He sees us just as He saw the woman in the synagogue that day. He has compassion for us as He did for her. And He has the power to set us free from the cause of our bent overness, so that we might stand up straight and praise God. And that, my friends, is some of the best good news we'll ever hear.